Good morning to each one. We greet y'all in Christ's name this morning. Certainly was good to be here. And the different thoughts that were shared in the devotional and Sunday school. I struggled a little bit with what to share this morning. I was actually supposed to share something last week, but I got a little bit under the weather, if you will. And so I was not here, so Elmer took my place. So I sort of had a New Year's Day or a New Year's message sort of picked out or planned. And so I struggled with, should I share that? And so I decided, yeah, I'll just, hopefully we're not too far into the new year that it's still relevant. And then when I walked in this morning, I saw what was on the board. I thought, okay. Maybe we're good after all. So I really like what it does say about the new year brings to you will depend a great deal on what you bring to the new year. And it's interesting, I had to think, I started the new year with feeling a little bit under the weather, if you will. And I had to wonder, is that my perception of the new year of what 2022 is going to be like? And so I thought I would share, as regards to the new year, as we look at 2021 and what it all entailed or whatever. And now we look at the start of a brand new year. You know, someone said that New Year's is somewhat overrated as well. And I had to wonder, what does God's calendar look like? Does he flip the page from one year going into the next? When we look at eternity, do we keep track of all the years and everything? Or is December 31st going into 2022 just another day in God's economy? What does that look like? It's interesting to see the different things that different societies, different cultures, how they observe New Year's Day. And I did a little bit of looking into it, the different cultures, what they do on New Year's Day. But what is interesting is everything that they do is towards to try to get a better year. Maybe 2021 was a year that, you know, is painful to some people. You know, there's been a lot of sickness. There's a lot of devastations. We think of the tornadoes. And we think of deaths and things like that. And I was blessed here a couple Sundays ago. I think it was Mike shared something about, looking back and seeing, you know, and someone shared about actually the blessings that came out of 2021 and somewhat as a result of things that we went through in 2020 with the sicknesses and all that. So I think as the board mentions, a lot of it is our perception of what we, you know, how we look at things, how we view life, and things like that. We certainly have a lot to be thankful for. And so what are we focusing on as we look at 2021? Do we see the blessings or do we see the curses? Do we see the spiritual breakthroughs? Or do we see otherwise the tornadoes and all of those things? As we look at the different cultures and things like that, even in America, what do we do on New Year's Day? What are some of the foods that we eat to ensure, health and prosperity in the coming year? For example, in Spain and several other Spanish-speaking countries, people bolt down a dozen grapes, symbolizing their hopes for the months ahead right before midnight. And so they chew down a dozen grapes, and I think that's for every month of the calendar, if you will. And so that ensures them good luck for the coming year. Another example is on New Year's Day in Japan, people eat fish, which are able to swim against strong currents, believing that this will enable them to move against the strong currents, which they anticipate will face them in the coming months. So how many of you ate fish on New Year's Day? Okay, so no people from Japan, I guess. People in Hungary eat roast pig with an apple or a four-leaf clover in its mouth, believing that this will bring them good fortune and health in the coming year. In another part of the world, how many of you women like to eat gizzards? Okay, chicken gizzards mainly. I'm assuming that's what this is talking about. We used to eat them. But in another part of the world, women in particular eat chicken gizzards thinking that the act will make them beautiful during the new year. So I guess chicken gizzards is where it's at. But no, I don't think I can see all of our women here, and I don't see anyone that needs to start eating chicken gizzards. In America, a lot of people eat pork and black-eyed peas and greens on New Year's Day in attempt to ensure a year of health and wealth. How many of you ate pork and black-eyed peas on New Year's Day? Looks like we don't have too many people that believe in this kind of stuff. I remember, I think Commercial Bank, they handed out these tins of black-eyed peas, the bank just for people to eat. Someone once asked someone that was always observing eating these certain foods. They were asked, told, you seem to be doing fine, but you do have some health problems and you're not financially independent, so why do you keep following this practice every year? The person admitted that, yeah, that is true, but just think of how bad things would be if I did not eat the black-eyed peas and beans. And so I don't know if that was being optimistic or maybe just insanity. So I had to wonder, why pork? Why do people eat pork and not chicken on New Year's Day? Does anyone know? Why does pork get the nod on New Year's Day? Because pork represents moving forward. What happens when a pig starts to root? He always roots forward, right? He's always pushing forward, which means progress. What does a chicken do? Does a chicken scratch forward or backwards? And so eating chicken means, going backwards. It's not progress, if you will. I enjoy a good plate of pork jowls and black-eyed peas. People have done all of these things at one time to ensure a year of prosperity, good health, and you name it. And so the question for us is that what we put our trust in for 2022? What are we putting our trust in this morning for this coming year? And I think one of the best places that we can be in for 2022 is simply to be in the will of our Father. And as our Sunday school said, our Abba Father, to be in His will, that's the best. That's going to beat any plate of pork, black-eyed peas, or whatever. And I think the black-eyed peas is for every one that you eat, it ensures, good luck or whatever. And I know there's a lot of superstition wrapped up in a lot of these different things. And I think there's probably a lot of people that just eat them for the novelty of it. Not necessarily that they think anything or anything is going to come out of it. It's a little bit like Thanksgiving. We get a hankering for turkey for some reason. And some people do for the pork and black-eyed peas, and so I get that part of it. But the question for us is, as Christians, who are we placing our trust with? I'd like to read some scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. If we look at all the things that these different cultures are doing, it's all as a means to minimize or to eliminate trials and things that we go through as Christians. How does God see it? Is God telling us to do certain things? If we do certain things, that's going to ensure, health and wealth and prosperity and things like that. Starting to read in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us by taking away all of our tribulation. Is that what he says? Okay, let me try it again. Who comforteth us by removing us from all of our tribulation. Does it say that? Okay, three strikes, you're out. Let me try to get it this third time. Who comforteth us in all of our tribulation, or in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. I find it interesting that in that verse, there is no mention of minimizing, taking away our tribulation of what we are going through. But he says, who comforteth us in all of our tribulation. I think 2021 has been a year of tribulation for sure. And it has been for a lot of people. And I don't want to take away from that. Certainly it has. Is 2022 going to be tribulation free? Is it going to be without tribulation because I ate certain foods on New Year's Day? Even in this verse here, we have the assurance, we have a promise that he will comfort us in all of our tribulation. And then in verse 5, it says, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation, or you could say comfort, also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation or benefit. Notice here, whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings, which we also suffer. Whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation and or comfort. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Did you know that the Apostle Paul had despaired even of life? What would that be like? Pressed beyond measure. He even felt like giving up or had despaired of life. And there's probably all of us had moments in our life that we have felt that. And then he says in 9, he says, we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead. Who hath delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also, helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. And so, seems like no matter how bad of a hand that we have been dealt with, we can be encouraged by the fact that none of this is a surprise to God. He sees everything. He sees the tribulation that we are going through, and we have the assurance that he's going to be there with us throughout this whole process. I don't know what it was like to have my house blown away. I would love to hear Brandon and Julie sometimes share what, you know, what exactly was that like being in a basement when your house is just blown away, Marlins and various other people. You know, that would be something. For one, you feel extremely vulnerable at that point. You're just, you know, there, and things are happening so fast around you. And so it's almost like unless you really go through it, we can talk about it and all of those things. We can talk about how we should relate to it. But until it happens to us, sometimes it can and bring about a different meaning. The other part of New Year's, as we look at the eating and stuff, the other part of New Year's is a resolution thing, okay? I don't know how many of you have already made New Year's resolutions in the past. And how many of you maybe have just recently made some, you know, resolutions, if you will. I don't know that I'm going to ask for a hand raise, but we know how most of those things go, you know, with New Year's resolutions. usually we start to abandon ship, you know, for some about the second week of January is about how long some of them last. You know, diet is one of the first things to go out, get thrown overboard. Exercise usually follows soon after, if you will. And but we think this year it's going to be different. You know, we have, you know, in a moment of optimism, we think going into the new year, this year is going to be different. And I had to think of someone that said, you know, I think came up with a resolution that we could probably all keep. And I'm talking to myself because I struggle with this as much as anyone in here as far as eating and exercise. But he said, here's a resolution that we could probably all keep, and that is this: to eat more and to exercise less. How many of you could get on board with that? Eat more and exercise less. We could probably all get on that wagon, if you will. However, in all seriousness, here's some other resolutions that I think would do us much better. I would like to present some commitments that if we do them, I think it will radically change our life. One thing I don't want to do is imply that you're not doing them already. And so I want to be careful there. But if we do them, if we keep doing them, I think it will change our life. And the number one is to commit to forgetting our failures. And I know that is hard to do. In Philippians chapter 3, it says in verse 13, it says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." This is some advice that has stood the test of time. Not looking back, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. You know, I don't know of anything that is more relevant and practical advice than this verse right here, going into the new year. We don't have to live our lives imprisoned by our past. All of us have failed in some way in our lives over the last year. I know I have, and probably most of us in here have to some way, shape, or form. Friendships have failed. Us as parents, we have failed our children at times. We have made wrong choices. We may have even failed ourselves. And I think all of us in some ways have failed God. What God's word is saying is we should not get bogged down by the failures of our past. And when we get bogged down from the past, that also will keep us from moving forward into the future that God has for us. Okay, and so the second challenge I believe God wants us to ride in for 2022 is to commit ourselves to give up our grudges. like to read a couple of verses in Colossians. It says in Colossians chapter 3, it says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. It says, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave, so also do ye. And then in verse, backing up to the previous verse, it says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. And then in verse 14, the following of the verse 13, he says, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And so when we focus on 12 and 14, it's almost as though Paul is less concerned about what the quarrel is about, but it's that we are willing to lay down our grudges. You know, sometimes we might be so concerned with what exactly it is, but Paul is simply saying when we have, you know, in verse 12, when we put on the elect of God, holy and beloved, these bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, and then in 14, put on charity, that will take care of a lot of our quarreling, right? A lot of our grudges we will be willing to lay down. And then in verse 15, it says, what follows after that is the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye also are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Grudges will destroy marriages, break up families, it can ruin friendships, and yes, split churches. Let's be honest enough to admit that one of the problems of the church in general is the grudges that Christians hold against one another. Grudges are not just destructive, they are self-destructive. And so, if I am holding a grudge this morning, God has something to tell us. And I think what he's saying to us is to give it up. Give it up. If we're hanging on to a grudge, God is telling each one of us, give it up. It's not worth hanging on to. And then number three is to commit yourself to restore your relationships. You know, sometimes when you turn on a computer and you, during the startup process, there's a little window that pops up asking us if we want to check to see if all programs are running properly. And I think that's a little bit how God is with us. And he is issuing this challenge is in Romans chapter 12, verse 18. It says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And I think that phrase, as much as lieth in you, is key right here. God is using that phrase, is personally challenging each one of us to do all we can to restore our relationships. God wants us to do everything we can to restore any relationships that may have gone wrong in our lives. And here's talking to myself. Some relationships might have gone wrong in our lives because of what other people have done. And they may very well, maybe they don't even want that relationship restored. You know, so that is a possibility. Somebody does something to you, and maybe they're not really interested in having that relationship restored. And I think God recognizes that. And I think that's why he starts with saying, if it is possible. But if we're honest, I think a lot of our relationships have gone wrong because of what we have done. And so as I look in my own life, many times there are things that I could have done different. Things that I have done that has contributed, you might say, to a deterioration of relationships. And so number four is commit yourself to turn your back on your transgressions. There's a story, an interesting story about during the Civil War, actually after the Civil War, some of the slaves, a number of the slaves, actually after they were freed, they chose to go back and to serve their masters, to work for their masters, you know, being free. And I thought that is commendable. And, you know, maybe there were masters that were, you know, good people, had these kindness and, they loved their slaves and such like. But they decided to go back and serve their masters. However, in the New Testament, it also brings out that that is exactly how many Christians choose to live. Now, the slave going back to serve his master is a good thing, or can be a good thing. But in this case, in the New Testament, Christians sometimes are content to do that, going back and serving our master. Let me read a verse here. It says, Christ, let me just read this. Christ died to set us free. The Holy Spirit has given us the power to be free. Just like those former slaves, many Christians still choose to obey their old master, which is sin. And so in Romans chapter 6, verse 12, it says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof." When God says for us to not let sin control the way we live and to not give in to its lustful desires, he is issuing the challenge to turn our backs on our transgressions. So it's easy for us as Christians sometimes is to go back and serve our old master, which is the devil. And so in that case, as our Sunday school lesson talked about servanthood versus sonship. And it talked about how we operate. Do we operate as a servant or as a son? And there's quite a difference in there, the way that we view God, coming from a servant versus a sonship standpoint. And I think part of that is when we recognize we are sons and daughters of God, of the Most High, I think it's going to have a direct correlation in us in how easy is it for us to go back and serve our original master, the devil. And so, as we look at that, turning our backs on our transgressions, I think 2022 can really be something to celebrate if we can make forgiveness the heart of what it's all about for us. To forgive ourselves, and if you will, forget the past, and I understand, I put forget the past in quotations. We do have a memory, right? But the question is, can we forgive? To forgive others who have hurt you and forgive whatever grievances you have. And I think one thing I always like to ask myself is when we look at people that have hurt me, how many times do I ask, how many times have I hurt people? And I think it goes both ways in that. And so, as much as lieth in you, and I think 2022 can be a great year, not because we had our plate of pork and black-eyed peas, but I think it can be a great year because God is in it. And if God is in our year, if God is in us, if we are in the will of our Father, 2022 can be a great year. You see, it's not measured by the fact of whether we have tribulation or not, because he said he will be with us in our tribulation. So I think that's what makes it great, is when he is in our tribulation, that is what counts. It's not the fact of trying to be free from tribulation, but the fact that God is in it. That is what makes it great. Okay, at this time, let's bow for a word of prayer. Father in heaven,